This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Cradle My Heart Radio, where our mission is preventing abortion and helping those it hurts. And, you know, our mission has been unfolding in time, and my particular mission has really changed through the years. I have to tell you that. I mean, when I first began speaking out against abortion, my primary message was to help women, and in particular women who were either already Christian or were open to the gospel, to help them understand that we are forgiven and that we don't need to continue to suffer and punish ourselves and have these horrible, pressing spiritual questions that abortion raises in our hearts. We don't need to be subject to any of that. God has already provided a way for our healing and helping women understand that. But as I've admitted, you know, when that mission was unfolding, I really wasn't burdened for the lives of the children being lost to abortion. I mean, I certainly cared about the fact that I had participated in the taking of a life, but the scope of the problem was still so incomprehensible to me, and it still lies outside of our grasp, I think, in large measure. But a number of years ago, we spoke with Brian Fisher, who's head of the organization Human Coalition. At the time, they were called Online for Life. And Brian, from the beginning, has been working to harness technology for the cause of life and is continuing to do that, as well as to expand their outreach as well. And I know it's completely in line with the original vision, but we've invited Brian to rejoin us to get a progress report and to talk about some of the things that are being said about his organization in the press and give him a chance to answer. Brian, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Hi there, Kim. Thanks so much for having me back on.
Brian is president, co-founder of Human Coalition, which is a pro-life nonprofit headquartered in Dallas. And also now you have pregnancy resource centers in five or six markets, Brian?
We do, in Dallas, Raleigh, Pittsburgh, and Atlanta. And we're looking at some further expansion in 2018.
So Online for Life, correct me now, did you just start out doing referrals, trying to point women who were looking for abortion in online searches to pregnancy centers, but you weren't actually running a pregnancy center? Have I got that part of the history correct?
That's excellent, yes. Way back when, it's been 10 years ago now since we started this idea of, in essence, intercepting women as they were looking for abortion providers and giving them the option to speak with life-affirming agencies. That was originally tested in 2007, started the organization in 2009, 2010. And we realized that although there's 1.85 million internet searches a month in the United States for abortion terms, that's a huge mission field, but that the current systems that are in place, the pregnancy center movement, are doing fantastic work, but not working with that abortion determined population, that woman who has already made up her mind to abort, or in many cases is being coerced to abort. So Online for Life grew and grew and began to add a call center, and then we realized that because there is no system of care for this abortion determined woman and her baby, that we had to build something that doesn't exist. And so we began to bring on our own clinics. We call them women's care clinics, and we have seven of those now in four cities, and we're continuing to expand. They work in conjunction with pregnancy centers, but we do specialize with this abortion-determined woman, the hardest cases, the most riskiest cases, those that are really the most difficult family situations to work with. And by God's grace, this week we just hit 7,000 babies rescued from abortion through the methods that we've developed over the past several years.
And so, and praise God for that, you know. And so I know that your background before coming to this was that you were a certified financial planner, right?
My background is primarily, yes, in the stock and bond world. I was in operations and have all the crazy licenses and initials to warrant those battle scars, but God called me out of the for-profit world back in 2010, and I've been full-time in this work since early 2012.
And the reason I bring that up, Brian, is because you brought your business mind and your skills and your expertise to this task. And so, you know, when you say that there are over 7,000 lives that are here and saved, you know, this is the reason why you're doing what you're doing. And I think it's interesting that, you know, many of your critics in the press, of course, who are abortion rights advocates and who have a vested interest in this, will, you know, issue the charge that, wow, you know, so some woman's looking for abortion online and you just hijacked her search and, you know, deceived her into coming into some pro-life organization that's not going to give her what she wants, and you're just deceiving women. But the proof of these lives saved, I think, just says that, you know, that's not what's happening at all. And it speaks to what women are really going through when they're making those internet searches. I'm going to give you a chance to talk about whether or not you're hijacking women when you when you present them with an alternative, even at the level of an internet search.
Well, I think the greatest refutation of that charge is the clients themselves. We survey our clients, we do exit surveys, and we ask about their satisfaction with our services. And over 95% of clients who come and see any of our clinics say that they would happily refer somebody else to us, including those women who unfortunately still go on to abort, even actually after they've seen us. And so our method of reaching the abortion-determined community and bringing them into our cycle of care is really based on building trust. And you don't build trust through deceit. You build trust through compassion and offering security, offering tangible help and godly wisdom. And so we let the client's testimonies speak for themselves, and the charge that we're somehow being deceptive, you know, wouldn't be the case if we had 95% of our clients who were referring other clients to us.
Brian Fisher is our guest, and he's with Human Coalition, which is a nonprofit pro-life organization headquartered in Dallas and serving women across the country, and also, you know, still making those referrals in the markets where you're not serving and so directly. So, you know, Brian, I want to talk about the Ben Watson story, because this is still an underreported story, the disproportionate impact of abortion on women of color. And Ben Watson and you wrote about this at Human Coalition's website, and just summarize for us what it was, how that came about, and what the message was.
Of course, Ben is a tight end for the Baltimore Ravens and has been in the NFL for many years, and is an author and widely recognized as an extraordinarily intelligent, articulate speaker on issues particularly related to the African-American community, but to the family in general. And he is on our advisory board, as, along with other great folks from different industries across the country. And he asked if we could co-write an article about abortion and racism. And, of course, he recently made some public statements about that very topic that Tony Dungy and others validated. But the challenge, of course, is that African-Americans are disproportionately attacked and preyed on by the abortion industry. So African-Americans make up about 13.5% of the population, but they represent almost 35% of all abortions. And as you well know, the roots of abortion in this country are deeply ingrained in racism. And so Ben Watson, as an African-American celebrity, NFL football player, uses his platform to discuss that and is, of course, roundly criticized for pointing out what is entirely factual. So we were overjoyed that he co-wrote the article. And to your point, it didn't get a whole lot of press, which was not surprising in our day and age. However, his more recent comments and Tony Dungy's validation did get some press. And I think it's a good conversation. The African-American community, I think, is really making great strides at recognizing the abortion genocide of their own race, and they are really beginning to rise up in mass saying enough is enough. It's a great time to be partnering with different races as we work towards ending abortion.
You know, and I've been trying to get this story out there ever since it came to my attention. Generally, the only answer that I have heard from, you know, those who would, you know, push back against the message is that it's patronizing to black women, and it's, you know, it's saying that black women or women of color can't make their own reproductive decisions, and there's never a refutation of the facts of the story. And when you used a word like genocide, you know, because I accept that terminology, I want you to put that in context for us, though. I mean, what is the evidence? What are the statistics surrounding that the impact on women of color and black women in particular?
Well, you know, I'm studying genocides throughout history because I'm working on another book on abortion. And it's amazing because I've been full-time in this for several years and have been in the pro-life movement for well over a decade. And yet every day it seems like I learned something else that validates the evil and the discrimination and the heinous act of abortion, not only what it obviously does to the child, but what it does to the woman and the family. And in the African-American community, you know, I think the most recent numbers were over 14 million abortions just in that that community. And so when we use phrases like genocide, although I think it applies to babies of any race or color, but certainly in the African-American community who have been disproportionately targeted by the abortion industry, it has a particular impact. When you look at the history of Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger's vision to root out human weeds, as she called them, and she was referring to African-Americans and minorities in that statement, what we have is a very well-articulated plan, a long-term, decades-long plan, to stem the reproduction of what she considered to be less valuable, less intelligent races. And that vision is being carried out today. The vast majority of abortion clinics are located in minority neighborhoods, and as I've already described, abortion in particular impacts the African-American community. And so as we see the African-American birth rates continue to drop because we have created a culture where now it's socially acceptable for African Americans to take the lives of their own children, Margaret Sanger's vision is in fact still becoming a reality. And the great irony here in America, Kim, is that this has all been trumped up in such fancy marketing language: women's reproductive rights, women's choice, empowerment, terms that are innately American. They sound like liberty and freedom. They sound like they should fit, and yet at the end of the day, we are sanctioning the slaughter of our own citizens, particularly those of African Americans, and in many cases, unfortunately, that community still trumpets it as some sort of success, when in fact they are the victims of domestic genocide.
Mm. The numbers that I have heard are that, for example, blacks make up about 16% of the population, but have 37% of the abortions. You can hear statistics about where abortion businesses locate their practices, and it's predominantly in communities of color. You hear a statistic like the fact that in Manhattan there are more black babies aborted than born every year. And I don't know if there are others, but when you hear those numbers, when you hear those statistics, it's pretty hard to deny that, you know, we don't know, causation and correlation are different. And I know that you're very scrupulous in your research. So we can't necessarily say, well, because the abortion businesses are located in communities of color, that means that they're targeting. But as you said, you know, we can look to the roots of the organization and we can look at the results. And so talk about this initiative that's going on with Human Coalition and the Church of God in Christ. It's a three-year plan to address this and really do something effective and offer, you know, an answer for this problem.
The Church of God in Christ is the largest African-American denomination in the country. They have about 6 million members, and they have churches in virtually every major city in the country. And through the work of some of the African-American leaders we have on staff at Human Coalition, we forged this three-year partnership because the Church of God in Christ, which I think is to be given unbelievable credit, has said enough is enough. We recognize the facts. We recognize that African Americans are disproportionately killed in the abortion genocide, and we want our families and our women to be protected, and we want them to understand that we as a culture, we as a denomination, and we as a nation, in fact, will stand behind women and their children and provide for their needs so that abortion doesn't even have to be an option. And so we've engaged in that partnership. We educate their congregations. In some cities, they have direct ability to participate in the act of rescuing children and working with us arm in arm. We're involved with some sort of long-term strategic planning projects with them, and quite frankly, they've been fantastic partners. I think it's telling, Kim, that the first major Christian denomination to sign on as a long-term partner with Human Coalition, which is one of the largest pro-life organizations in the country, is African American. I thought it was the biggest news story of 2016 that nobody in the mainstream press picked up on. As a matter of fact, in the Christian press, it was barely noted. And yet, it was a monumental shift, I think, in the life culture and certainly a sign to the abortion industry that they have some major problems brewing on the horizon because their favorite target, African American communities, the largest denomination, has said enough is enough. We're going to link arms with Human Coalition and get this done. So we certainly hope that that trend continues. I think it's a sign to other races, other denominations, that the church has to become materially, primarily involved in this effort. And thank heavens, the Kojic Church of God in Christ is leading the way.
Mm. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Our guest is Brian Fisher of Human Coalition, a nonprofit pro-life organization headquartered in Dallas. And it's simply amazing that Human Coalition and Church of God in Christ has not received any news coverage for this. So I feel really happy that I was able to give you the chance to talk about this.
Yeah, I am too. Thank you for doing that.
I mean, it's just stunning to me what does get our attention and the traction that stories get on the other side. And you know, that leads me into this story that happened in Atlanta recently where Netroots had their annual convention or gathering, and they decide, I think every year, that they're going to have, you know, some sort of social impact to their conference. And this year, you were the lucky organization to be targeted by Netroots. Again, a story that didn't get a lot of attention that I think people will find extremely compelling. Brian, share with us what happened in August in Atlanta.
There are some subgroups of the Netroots conference, some very aggressive pro-abortion groups that
Netroots is a technology. Sorry to interrupt, but they're a technology conference, right? I mean, it's a
liberal left-wing political conference. So Elizabeth Warren was one of their keynote speakers, and it has a high technological bent for sure. But they obviously have other smaller organizations that participate, and there were some left-wing feminist organizations that decided to protest physically against our pro-life women's care clinic in downtown Atlanta. Ironically, the clinic was closed the day they protested. But anyhow, they had a brief session outside of our building and made numerous charges against us and had my face on a truck that was patrolling around downtown with some untrue sayings on it and social media ads and flyers. And you know, to us, it was just a sign that we're doing the right thing. We've just started working in Atlanta at the end of last year. We in essence, acquired a pregnancy center who in 2016 had rescued 9 children from abortion. We brought them on in December, and since then, they've rescued over 230 children from abortion. And so these numbers are starting to get out, and obviously when you take away revenue from the abortion industry, they don't like that, and they're going to fight that. And so these protests were, you know, in my view, a vain attempt to try to cast aspersions on the fantastic work that's happening in Atlanta. But really, it's because we're rescuing so many children and families from abortion, and that's a threat to the money-making machine of the abortion industry.
So, and what was the role of social media? What was the role of Google? I mean, was there, you know, because some of the stories that I saw made it appear as if their representatives at Netroots were only too happy to target Human Coalition. Was that reported properly?
Well, some of the Netroots conference major sponsors included Facebook and Google, of course, which Human Coalition uses extensively, both platforms. And so there was some press from the pro-life side saying, hey, look, what are these major giant corporations doing so visibly supporting a conference which is adamantly in favor of abortion rights? The smaller groups that actually mounted the protests were basically the beneficiaries of the Netroots conference being local. That's how they were able to recruit folks to come out and protest against our clinics. Their charge, of course, was that Human Coalition has fake clinics. You know, between you and me, I'm not even sure what that means. They claim that we don't offer abortions. Well, that claim is true. we're saving babies, not killing babies. And so if that makes us fake, then I'm not sure what to say about that. We obviously disclose to our clients what we do and how we do it, and that's why, again, our client satisfaction rate is over 95%. At the same time, the level of care and compassion and sophisticated technology we use to serve women and the offer to help them long-term is a threat to a abortion, multi-billion-dollar abortion business that does not want to see its revenue stolen by life-affirming groups. And so, I mean, they can mount whatever marketing charge they want against us. They're rather silly, frankly, and I don't think the protest was very successful. We ended up broadcasting their protest live ourselves and raised money off it to go save more babies, which I think infuriated them. But to us, it's just judo. How do we take something that could be a negative and turn it into a positive and go save another child? And that's precisely what we did.
Well, and I appreciate your confidence. You know, I mean, there are organizations that have been very effective at lobbying and going to get, you know, whether it would be Congress people at the state or federal level to go, you know, to buy into this line that it's a deceptive practice. And therefore, for example, in California, you have to post on the door, we don't do abortions here, and the state of California will pay for your abortion. And other laws that have been passed like this at the state level in Illinois, Hawaii, I mean, there's the laws that were passed in New York and Maryland, I think, you know, have been found to be unconstitutional, didn't stand. There's a free speech issue there. But, yeah, I mean, this idea that offering women a choice somehow is deceptive and somehow violates their rights, you know, I appreciate your confidence in the face of that because, of course, what you're doing is not deceptive. What you're doing doesn't harm women. And as someone has said, you know, the number of women who have died in pro-life pregnancy centers equals zero. That is not, you know, and of course, children for that matter, too. So, Brian, just give us your vision for what's coming up next, along with, I mean, I pray that your initiative, that our eyes would be open to the racist aspect of abortion, would see fruition. Beyond that, what is your vision in the short term for what Human Coalition is doing and for what you would like to see happen?
Well, because we serve this underserved population, this group of abortion-determined women, of which there's 1.2 million a year, that's our vision. Our vision is to scale the 7 women's care clinics we currently have available to every major city in America. We have 40 cities on our list that we'd like to have infrastructure in to be a legitimate competitor to the abortion industry in those cities. And so as God provides, we'll continue to do that. The wonderful thing is we now have existing pregnancy centers coming to us saying, hey, can we join your family and basically be upgraded, can be converted into this new system, this women's care clinic system. And so it's a matter of finding the partners to be able to do that work. But when you have results like Atlanta, where we're rescuing, you know, 10, 20 times as many babies as prior to Human Coalition's involvement, I think there's a great method there based on the technology and our practices that will be transformative in major cities across the country. Along with that, we integrate with churches. Now, I have spoken publicly numerous times that abortion can and will be ended in this country. It will not be ended without the church. The primary institution to protect and preserve human life can only be found in the Christian worldview. And so the church has an enormous obligation to take this as a primary frontline issue and to deal aggressively with it. And that's why we do integrate with all sorts of different churches on the grounds or we have clinics. And that most certainly includes African American churches. Mm. And by and large, again, we are getting great receptivity. The reason is we're not treating abortion as a political issue because it isn't. We're treating it as a life issue, as a spiritual issue, as a justice issue. And that message resonates very well with churches because we're saying, hey, look, this isn't Republican, Democrat. This is the Declaration of Independence. This is the right to life. And so let's care for these moms. Let's care for their children. Let's provide long-term support, whether they abort or not, quite frankly. But we'll do everything that we can to make sure we save that child.
Do we need to underscore the fact that you are not profiting in that? You know, are your services free of charge to the women who come to the Human Coalition services?
They are. Yes, we are entirely nonprofit, so 100% of our services are free. Of course, I live here in Texas, and in Houston, there are abortion clinics which are offering free abortions through the end of September, which I think is an unbelievable exploitation of women and their children. And we have actually petitioned the federal government to grant us funds to go and compete against them.
That was Brian Fisher of Human Coalition, a nonprofit pro-life organization headquartered in Dallas, Texas. Stay with us. Coming up on Cradle My Heart Radio, we'll open the phones for your calls at 1-800-811-3003. Join us.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
We are so pleased that you are able to join us, and thank you for taking time to listen to Cradle My Heart Radio. And I hope that you have a reaction to the information Brian Fisher presented us with about racial inequality in abortion, about the note on which we ended that interview, if you were able to hear it, that abortion businesses are offering women in the path of Hurricane Harvey in Texas free abortions through the end of the month. And Human Coalition is not taking that quietly. The pro-life pregnancy help movement offers women free help, real help, free of charge, every day. And you know, while the abortion industry is presenting itself as some sort of humanitarian outreach, I think 70 some odd women had already taken the abortion businesses up on that. It's not a loving option. And if that is not exploitation, that a family, a woman, individual impacted by a hurricane to be preyed upon by the abortion industry, and for them to then turn around and rather than do that as a cost that they would absorb, they're fundraising over it as well. What do you think of that? 1-800-811-3003 is our number. And I know, in the last few weeks, we've had callers who do not agree with me about abortion. We had a caller last week who was very confident in her opinion that the abortion businesses that are operating in our communities around the U.S. prevent more abortions than they perform. And so she was saying that we simply cannot judge the individuals as they are making that choice. Well, of course, God is the judge of our hearts. Jesus Christ is the judge of our hearts. But we don't have to be able to judge those women to say that it's wrong to intentionally take the life of an innocent human being and to stand up and defend that life and to offer her all the help and material support that she needs, all the spiritual and emotional help and support that she needs. That's the right thing to do. That's what the pregnancy help movement does. And so maybe you want to talk about that. Was this new information for you about the impact of abortion on communities of color? 1-800-811-3003. For our callers tonight, we have a book by Ryan Bomberger. Now, Ryan's been a guest on this program, and we've quoted him at other times in the past, too, because he just has an amazing story. And his story has inspired him to become an amazing voice for life. His book is called Not Equal, Civil Rights Gone Wrong. Ryan Bomberger is an adopted son, and his family is 14 kids, a lot of kids, many of them adopted, many of them biracial, and some of them, I believe at least one other sibling, were conceived in rape. Now, Ryan says he isn't shy about sharing that aspect of his biography, if you will. But I just want to read a little bit to you from one of the essays in Ryan Bomberger's book, Not Equal, Civil Rights Gone Wrong. If you'd like a copy of it, call us at 1-800-811-3003. We'll send you a copy if you join us to share a question or a comment on the air. 1-800-811-3003. It's a toll-free call. His first chapter, I Am Not a Rapist Child. Wow, I hate that phrase, he writes. Rapist child, rapist baby, rape baby, or product of rape. All equally despicable, yet intentional pejoratives, often used by abortion activists and abortionists to debase those conceived in such horrid violence. As if these revilers had any control over the circumstances of their own conception, they stand as judge and executioner of human beings with the exact same cellular makeup. Do we refer to children as the drug dealer's child or the adulterer's child? President Obama's alcoholic father was married multiple times, Bomberger writes. In fact, his father was married to two different women concurrently. Do we call Obama the bigamist child or the alcoholic child? That would be horrible. Granted, people hold various views of our commander-in-chief, but who would call him the abandoned-in-chief? Because of his deadbeat dad, no matter the wishful dreams he had of his father. It is such an eloquent essay. It was written in 2014, and Ryan goes on to say that the circumstances of our conception are not relevant to our judging our worth or our value as human beings before birth or afterwards. 1-800-811-3003 is our number, and Ray is on the line, and I think, are we ready to go? If we're ready to go, let's go ahead and put Ray on. Hi, Ray. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Thank you for your ministry, first of all, and for having Brian on tonight. I'm a big fan of both of you. The first thing I should say is that I would like to apologize to you and to all post-abortive women for not reaching out to you. It took a long time for me to wake up, and I finally did. And the testimonies of all of you are heartbreaking, and so I want to get that out front. Secondly,
appreciate that. Thank you. I received that.
Thank you. Thank you. Brian brought up the role of the church, which I have been, very kind of critical of the role of the church. I think, as he said, this cannot be fought without the church. And I'm currently writing a letter to different publications, trying to admonish the church and to get them involved and to do what Jesus did. What did he do? He forgave sinners and gave them a chance for a relationship with him, and we need to do that with all post-abortive women.
Well, and I appreciate you saying that. And, I think that when I mentioned that we had a caller who said, well, I can't judge. I'm against abortion. She was very adamant that she was against abortion, but that she couldn't judge. And you'll hear people say it less strongly. They'll say, well, I would never choose abortion, but I can't tell other people what to do. And I probably felt that way myself for a long time. But I think that it was because I was very ignorant about the full humanity of the children from conception, and that they have an equal right to life, that it's a social justice issue, as Brian Fisher said. And so, you know, yeah, I mean, we're not, I'm not here to judge the woman who's chosen abortion. How can I possibly do that, having done it myself? My only plea is the forgiveness and mercy of Jesus Christ. So you're writing letters to the editor, Ray, and what kind of response are you getting? Are you receiving offers of help and support? Are people agreeing? Are doors opening for you?
Well, I'm just beginning, and I've had a publication that they asked me to shorten it a little bit. It was 1,200 words, so I had to get it down to 800. But so I'm doing that, and I think they're going to go with it. So it, you know, it all depends on the publication. You know, some are interested, some aren't. But I shall continue to knock on doors. One other thing, you know, what you said reminded me. There's one thing that I never understood, and that was the woman's decision. And after hearing well, probably hundreds of testimonies, I now understand that. And, you know, the point of coercion is so misunderstood by those of us on the outside looking in. You know, many times it was not her decision. And, you know, now I have a better idea of that, and I can understand it, and it's much easier for me to reach out to her.
Oh, thank you for saying that, and thank you for calling. Now, stay on the phone, and off the air we'll get your address, and we'll send you a copy of tonight's resource. Thank you for the support and for the kindness of your comments, Ray. I really appreciate you.
God bless you.
God bless you, too. Ryan Bomberger's book is called Not Equal, Civil Rights Gone Wrong. And, you know, he brings up a really important point about coercion. There are some sources, afterabortion.org, David Reardon's organization is one where you can find the background and the research studies about forced abortion and coercion. Operation Outcry also has a center against forced abortion. And coercion, it isn't, you know, I don't have to be holding a gun at your head to be coercing you. Coercion is manipulation. And I think that's not very well understood. It's the practice, the dictionary definition of coercion is the practice of persuading someone to do something by using force or threats. And that force can be very subtle. It can be the idea that you're going to have to move out if you're dependent on your parents and you're a teenager. It can be a threat to expose the pregnancy if the relationship is one that is not married or would cost a woman her job or her reputation. I mean, coercion happens very, and it can be as subtle as a refusal to offer any support whatsoever, which is what happened in my case. I believe that is coercive. And I think it's very hard still for me today to own that I was coerced. No one wants to think that we've been made a victim. Everyone wants to believe that we have our own agency. And, you know, there, and as far as that goes, you know, no one did hold a gun to my head or physically force me. But there are many, many women who have been. I would never discount a story of being physically forced. I've heard too many of them to not take each and every one very seriously in all its details. But he brings up a very important point about coercion. And I think there's a huge amount of coercion that happens in the area of aborting children of color and of exploiting women of color to tell them that abortion is the answer to keep them out of poverty. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. Love to hear your reaction. 1-800-811-3003. I want to share a little bit more with you from Ryan Bomberger's essay written in 2014, I Am Not the Rapist's Child. He writes, "The Civil Rights Act of 1964, celebrated as one of America's most pivotal moments, was just as long overdue. Most don't realize that it's nearly a mirror copy of the Republican-only passed Civil Rights Act of 1875, championed by famed abolitionist and my hero, Bomberger says, Frederick Douglass. In 1883, the law was later ruled unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. They have often been supremely wrong, he says, parenthetically. February is Douglass's birth month as well as President Abraham Lincoln's. Both men changed the trajectory of our nation's civil rights. Lincoln's conscience was reshaped by Douglass, a man whose name is synonymous with abolition despite Steven Spielberg's inexplicable omission of him in his award-winning eponymous film. I'm sorry, I've never been able to. That's one that makes me stumble. His film of the same title. Lincoln's heart was moved by the eloquence and conviction of a man who wasn't even considered human, right? And Bomberger's point there is that that is what the law of the land ruled on by the Supreme Court reflected. He goes on to write, the leader of the party created to abolish slavery was compelled to rethink his views of humanity and equality by a former slave who abortion activists today would call a rapist child. Frederick Douglass, racially mixed, was born as a result of the rape of his biological mother, a slave, by her slave master. But Douglass is defined by his greatness, his achievements, by something other than the crime that caused his conception. He wasn't the slave master's child, but a resilient human being who fought to ensure the dignity of all human life. He was a man who rose from the seemingly impossible to be an incomparable orator, author, newspaper publisher, women's rights advocate, ambassador, abolitionist, and presidential advisor. Stay with us. We've got to take a break, but I'd love to put more of your calls on the air, so join us at 1-800-811-3003. And our resource tonight, Not Equal. I've been reading from Ryan Bomberger's book, Not Equal, Civil Rights Gone Wrong. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio, and I hope you'll visit us online at cradlemyheart.org. We post a podcast of our interviews. I try to do that always within 48 hours of the interview airing originally. And so we've been broadcasting now. Here it is September. This is our 5-year anniversary month, and there is a wealth of information. I have had the benefit of speaking with so many voices in the pro-life community, experts in theology, experts in the interpersonal dynamics that can help a woman make a choice for life, those working in the pregnancy help movement, women who are sharing their stories, men sharing their stories as well. There's so much to learn. And I still am so excited when I get a chance to speak with someone like our guest, Brian Fisher, earlier this hour. And I hope that you'll take advantage of all those resources, too. We're also posting our daily Cradle My Heart Today stories, which offers the full range, one woman's story every day of the full range of choices and what happened in the spiritual aftermath or how God broke through to help a woman make the choice for life. CradleMyHeart.org really is our labor of love. We're a nonprofit organization, and we exist through the kindness of broadcasters who have donated airtime to us in kind, as well as the donations that make our productions possible, because we have some really talented people working behind the scenes to make all of our broadcasts possible for you. So do visit, and I think that you'll benefit at CradleMyHeart.org. I sure hope so. We make most of our resources there available free of charge to you as well, and including tonight's resource, Not Equal by Ryan Bomberger, Civil Rights Gone Wrong. I've had the opportunity to hear Ryan speak on a couple of occasions, and he's a very compelling speaker, not only because of his story and his voice and his incredible intellect. I mean, this guy, when I heard him speak, he had just won a lawsuit where the NAACP came after him. Now, he took them on because they endorse abortion, and they refuse to hear the message that women of color are being targeted. So he put out some messaging, calling them the National Association for the Abortion of Colored People. And they sued, saying that he was destroying their brand or, you know, some thing about their intellectual property. So he went out on the sidewalk and he asked African-American people if they had heard of the NAACP, and they said yes. And then he asked them what it stood for, and most of them stumbled. It was kind of comical, actually. And he showed that he was not in any way besmirching their reputation, but instead he could back up his claim. I mean, he does a lot of satire, but it's extremely instructional, and he's got a very winning way. I mean, he really makes you think. It's very, if you will be intellectually honest, your mind will be moved by what he presents if you aren't aware of the facts that as he brings them forward. And, you know, he went on in his essay about the circumstances of his conception, the fact that there was a crime of rape as the circumstances of his conception. He says, you know, we all have the capacity within us to rise above our circumstances, including the circumstances of our conception. He says, we're all created equal, which means the beautiful possibility that's within that child who was planned is no different than that which was instilled in me, he says, despite my violent conception. He says, my biological mother was strength personified. She chose to be stronger than her circumstances. And he writes, I'm beyond grateful for her courage and the incredible gift of life and love she gave to me, especially through adoption. And as I've discovered by talking to rape survivors across the country at events on college campuses, churches, schools, in adoption-related conferences, there is a common thread. Children conceived in rape are often considered by their biological mothers as the only redemption of such a horrific and violent act. He says, according to a published study in the Journal of American Obstetrics and Gynecology, an estimated 50% of women who conceive after being raped choose abortion. But that's not the end of the story. Surprisingly to some, 32% choose to continue their pregnancy and parent the child, and 5.9% opt to make an adoption plan. Nearly 40% choose life. Ryan Bomberger says, I continue to meet these women, both post-abortive, who often express their regret, and those who gave birth to their child. And to add a little more context, abortions due to rape constitute 1% of all abortions nationwide. He says, many call these situations the hard cases. I call them the heart cases, because it takes more than numbers to sway people to reconsider what society offers as healing to women so horrifically violated. It takes sharing the other side of the story, showing people the tangible reality that is the 1% and the beautiful possibility that every life possesses. He says the violence of abortion on both the child and the mother does nothing to punish the rapist. According to many post-abortive rape survivors he's talked to, he says it doesn't erase the emotional or physical trauma either. And so he says, in conclusion, I am not the rapist's child. I was her child. I am God's child. I'm one of thousands every year given the opportunity to live, love, and redeem what the rapist tried to destroy. Our stories are full of hope, full of love, full of purpose. And when given the chance to share our experiences, we change people's hearts and minds by showing that triumph can rise from tragedy. It's a very impactful book, and as I say, it's a collection of his essays, but it also you also get the benefit of seeing so many of his graphics, Ryan Bomberger of the Radiance Foundation. And go to our podcast. You can hear Ryan tell you the story of his growing up in his incredibly beautiful adoptive family and more of what inspires him and what has led him to be the voice that he is today. And then you see his graphics because at his Radiance Foundation, they are producing very persuasive images, videos, memes. I mean, he's just, he's making an incredible impact. And what the world would have missed had he been aborted. We are so glad that you were able to join us for this edition of Cradle My Heart. And I hope that you will again visit us online at cradlemyheart.org. You'll find us on Facebook and Twitter. And I hope that you like us there and share our content because, you know, there are so many who are suffering in silence, many who are pregnant and feeling very alone, and who are tempted to abort if they've not already made that decision. One message, one bit of truth, really can save a life. And that's what we aim to do as we share our messaging on social media. And of course, the person suffering after abortion doesn't even know how to reach out for that help. I don't know where I would have been had someone not reached in my direction to tell me that Jesus loves me. And that's the reason we're here, to let you know that Jesus loves you too. Thanks so much for being with us. Join us online, cradlemyheart.org, and we'll be here next week. Hope we'll see you then. Have a great night.